My message today is entitled Words as Windows to the Soul. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Interestingly enough, we never say that except when someone is hurting us with their words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We say it trying to convince ourselves that their words don't hurt, but they do. Words can cut like a knife. The book of Proverbs understands this. It says, there are those whose words cut like a stone. Buddha tells us that words have the power to both destroy and to heal. Anyone who's been at the receiving end of a bully's wrath knows that words are as blunt as stones and as sharp as a honed stick. We should know better than to repeat the old adage about sticks and stones, but we don't seem to grasp fully the power of words. So if you would, by show of hands, and only if you're comfortable with doing it, anyone here ever get picked on or bullied? Okay, now leave your hands up. Now, also, leave your hands up if that bullying didn't hurt you at all. Pretty much what I thought. Amanda Cummings says her interests are animals and poetry, shopping and Katy Perry music, summer afternoons by the swimmer pool, excursions to Manhattan where she hopes to live one day. What many people didn't know was that Amanda was also the victim of bullying. It was nothing really too severe, be it in person or on Facebook. She was always sort of just being berated for her unwillingness to conform. As a natural blonde, she would dye her hair black, and she pierced her lip and wore high heels and lots of makeup to school. And at New Dorf High School, that wasn't the kind of self-expression that was looked on particularly well by other students. As her cousin said, kids didn't like her because she didn't follow the crowd. Several years ago, on December the 1st, she wrote this on Facebook. Then I'll go kill myself. With these pills, this knife, this life has already done half the job. Then on December 22nd, with a suicide note in her hand, she stepped off of a curb into a busy street in front of the bus. Sticks and stones will break my bones, or words will never hurt me. Bones will heal, but the cut of the right word might fester for a lifetime. They could even end a life. Never forget. Never forget. Words are powerful. In our reading today, James compares our tongues with bits that you would put into a horse's mouth. It's curious to consider how our tongues are like a bit in a horse's mouth. The text also compares the human tongue to a rudder on a ship. Something to consider is how those two, a bit and a rudder, are different. And then the reading goes on and says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. Like I said, it's interesting to consider the difference between those words, and between seeing words as a bit or a rudder and then seeing them as a fire. Because in the first two, the bit and the rudder, they're about control. Fire, on the other hand, is not always controllable. So is there anything to learn here in the difference? It may be that what he's getting at is that you can't take words back. You can steer them carefully by choosing them. That's sort of the bit reference. You can use them to steer or guide you. That's sort of the rudder reference. But once you have said them, they are like a fire. And even the smallest words can set the world on fire, for good or for bad. The simple little words, love your neighbor as yourself, have changed lives for better every day. And simple little unkind words push people to suicide every day. Our words matter. They not only shape who we are, they can make a difference in the world for good or for bad. Our words matter not just because of the fire that they can become. They're not just because they can change lives and even the world for better or worse, but because our words can change us for better or worse. As James finishes our text for today, he says this about our tongue, our words. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those from who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree yield, my brothers and sisters, olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. That line, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water, or maybe a more current saying that relates to it is, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? As we already seen and have already seen and discussed, our words are powerful things, but there is something behind our words that is more powerful, our thoughts. The reason that we say the words. If we build someone up, there are sponsoring thoughts behind our words that define us as people who love others and wish to see them happier, better, healthier. And if we gossip, there are sponsoring thoughts behind our words that define us as people who judge others, see ourselves as more important or possibly better than others. Our words are powerful. They're not just something we steer like a bit in the mouth of a horse. They are not just things that determine the direction we go in like a rudder on a ship. They are the hands that mold and shape our very souls on this potter's wheel we call life. They not only shape our souls for good or bad, but they reveal the shape of our soul, the good and the bad. Our words are the very windows to our souls. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can change my brain. According to Andrew Newberg, medical doctor, and Mark Robert Waldman, words can literally change your brain. In their book, Words Can Change Your Brain, they write, a single word has the power to influence the expression of genes that regulate physical and emotional states. So positive words such as peace and love can alter the expression of genes, strengthening areas in our frontal lobes and promoting the brain's cognitive functioning. According to the authors, they propel the motivational centers of the brain into action and build up resiliency. Then conversely, hostile language can actually disrupt specific genes that play a key role in the production of neurochemicals that protect us from stresses in life. Humans are sort of hardwired to worry. It's part of our primal brains protecting us from possible threats in the world. So our thoughts naturally tend to go there first. However, a single negative word can increase the activity in our amygdala, which is the fear-controlling center of our brain. And this releases dozens of stress-producing hormones and nanotransmitters, which in turn interrupts our brain's functioning. And it specifically interrupts our logic and our reason centers and our language centers. Angry words, the authors say, send alarm messages through the brain, and they partially shut down the logic and reasoning centers located in the frontal lobes. They say that using the right words can actually transform our reality. According to them, by holding a positive and optimistic word or words in your mind, you can actually stimulate your frontal lobe activity. And this area includes areas specific to language centers that connect directly to motor cortex responsible for motivating you into action. And as their research has shown, the longer you concentrate on positive words, the longer you concentrate on positive words, the more you begin to affect other areas of your brain. Functions in the parietal lobe start to change, which changes your perspective of yourself and the people that you interact with. A positive view of yourself will actually bias you towards seeing the good in others. Whereas a negative self-image will include you towards suspicion and doubt towards others. Over time, the structure in your thalamus will also change in response to your conscious words, thoughts, and feelings. And they, the authors, believe that the thalamic changes will literally affect the way you perceive reality. Words are powerful things. The lesson to learn here from what I see is to choose your words wisely. Not solely because of what they say about other people, but because of what they say about you and how they shape you. If you know your words have been less than loving sometimes, and maybe you feel a little bit bad about it at this point, don't worry about it. Take heart. I have some good news. You can change all of that. From this moment forward, choose more carefully your words. Even the words you say to yourself. Like a bit in the mouth of a horse, you can choose which way they go, good or bad, positive or negative. If you use them to build people up, all the people that you speak to and about, you will find that at the same time, you are building yourself up and bettering your soul in the process. The best news of all is that as we grow our souls into more loving, caring, and accepting souls, we grow ourselves closer to God. And that is what our spiritual journeys are all about. Are there those who would like to add their thoughts to the scripture reading or to the thoughts about how our words impact others and how they impact ourselves?
I'm Joyce. Mark, that was an amazing concept. I've never thought of that before. I need to know more about it. But I found myself sitting here thinking about the words that we say, either to ourselves or out loud. And I'm kind of a wordsmith, so I like words. But I realize when you say the word hate, you do it with a certain emphasis. And you employ the meaning of the word in the word when you say the word. And you do the same thing with the word joy. When you say the word joy, there's a little sparkle. There's a little uplifting of the smile. And so I think I'm affirming the concept through my experience with words.
Yeah.
I need to know more.
It's actually really fascinating. And I suspect that connection that you're talking about is part of why it rewires our brain. The words we use consistently rewire our meditating on a positive word can actually create neural connections that will cause you to be a more positive person in general. Now you can literally just pick a word like peace and sit and quietly meditate on the word peace over and over, just the word repeating it. And it will actually, their study is showing, it will actually cause changes in the frontal lobes, and that ultimately affects all the other centers of the brain. And one of the interesting things is it causes us to be rewired in such a way that we're also more likely to physically act out on our positive feelings. David?
Thank you. I was David last time. I guess I'm still David. Okay. I want to propose another variable in here because it seems to me emotion is tied in here. In other words, if I'm angry at you, that stirs up emotions in me, and then I say things to you that stir them up in you. So it seems like that may be another component to this.
Emotions tied to words, and I think that's part of what Joyce was getting at, is that, they're very present, and obviously there's been hundreds and probably thousands of studies on how our emotions directly impact our physical well-being.
Yeah. So we got this.
Absolutely. Are there any others who want to add their thoughts?